Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New York City jazz vocalist Molly Ryan on the 2022 album Sweeping the Blues Away. It's due out on Turtle Bay Records on November 11th, 2022. She has consistently been hailed as a critic's favorite, and she really digs into the backstory on her fifth solo album featuring 11 jazz classic songs from the swinging 1930s. In our discussion, she gets into the music, live shows, COVID living, and the future ahead. Enjoy the interview.
So I think the last time we caught up, it was quite a while back. Was it in like 2016?
Yeah, that was right, because it was right after Avon was born, I think.
Wow, what a different time on planet Earth it's been.
Yeah, the world was different. People's attitudes and minds were in a different headspace, I think.
Yeah, well, and I think the thing that's so relieving and good from my end of things is that, you know, there are albums and live shows and things coming back, and it's like there's a level of, you know, getting back to what we are used to, but there was also that notion that we didn't know when or how that was ever going to happen. So before we get to that part of things, I'm curious, as an artist, how did you survive COVID, and how did that process change you now that you have a new album and things are opening up?
Well, I think just like everyone else, it was a long period of how long is this going to last, and what are we doing? What do we do right now? Do we invest in the home audio equipment? And as things progressed, I think we just realized we had to, because as other people were doing it, we kind of jumped on that bandwagon with buying the in-home lighting and trying to do live streams from the living room and get the apps such as Acapella and try and connect with our friends using those apps. So we were creating videos where I would record, and then I'd send my video to another musician, and they would record on top of my recording, and then we'd send it to someone else. So we would compile, we would make essentially a recording that sounded like we were all in the same room at the same time, but none of us were ever in the same room together. So it was just a funky period, and I don't know how we got through it, but we did. All of us managed to get through it. I mean, not all of us. We lost some very good friends, and they're going to be missed forever. But I don't know. Here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I guess that's my other question. You know, being in New York, and, you know, there was a lot of skills that musicians had to acquire, production skills, so to speak. So I'm curious, from your vantage point now, as we look at things opening up, shows are happening, albums are being released, how do you see the recovery of the jazz community collectively? Do you see it coming back stronger? Do you see things happening that you didn't see before? What's your general macro overview of things?
There's a pretty positive vibe right now, because new venues are opening and people are trying to jump on that. It's good. It's fun. And, you know, things are opening all the time, and we're just trying to slip in where we can and see what becomes available. And everybody's trying to record right now. And it's a good sign that as I'm trying to release vinyl, there's a vinyl shortage, and the manufacturing plants can't keep up because everyone's trying to release vinyl right now. So that's a good sign that it's so popular that they're weeks and months behind on production. So I think we're headed in the right direction, and everyone is excited about where music is going as far as live performances and just wanting to create right now. Everybody just want to release, and they want to create art. So we're all creating.
Your album out on Veterans Day, Sweeping the Blues Away, is probably an anthem for what's going on right now. And I'm curious, how did this album come about? Was it something that was kind of in the hopper during the pandemic, or is it new? Like, how did the architecture and origin of this project happen?
Well, Scott Azen he formed Turtle Bay Records, and he really just wanted to see, I think his goal was to get more classic jazz going and record more artists in this genre. So he invited me to record an album, and I was just lucky enough to be able to get Rossano Sportiello, and I used Rob Adkins a lot on gigs, but I had never been able to record with him, so I invited him to be on the album, and Kevin Dorn's my favorite drummer, and of course Dan, so we got together, and it was kind of near COVID was still in effect, but we were nearing the end of the pandemic, because this was not this summer, but last summer, 2021, so the end of Omicron and everything, so we knew that things were dying down with COVID, and we wanted to create. We wanted to make something, and it was time. It was time to make some music, and I was just fortunate to have him ask me to do this album for Turtle Bay. And so we got in the studio. We spent 2 days recording some really wonderful old classic songs and some things that I'd never been able to put down before. And it was just really nice to be back in a studio again, and especially in Big Orange Sheep, which I hadn't been in that studio before, and recording with Michael. Michael, he's so nice, and he's wonderful. He's such a great engineer. He's just such a nice guy. I love him.
So the one thing that's always very evident and true about what you do is that you always have this foot in the past, but you also have this foothold in the modern era, and it's music that makes you feel good. But I know there's just these two worlds that exist, and I'm curious, from your perspective, how do you view each successive album? Do you view it as a snapshot of what you did in that time in your life, or do you view it as an evolution of what you're doing overall as an artist?
Yeah, I think the former. I think it's just it's what I'm doing right now and how I'm feeling in the moment and what I want to create in that moment. But I hope that the music is, I don't want it to just say like that, I hope it's only enjoyable for right now. I want it to be enjoyable forever. And I want people to get pleasure forever, because it's going to be around when I'm no longer. So it's my life. It's just kind of the little droppings that I leave that represent my life.
So what are you hoping the listener gets from this album? Those that download, buy, get the vinyl, what do you ultimately want them to get and feel?
Oh, I just want them to have fun, and I want them to smile. Really, everything that I do is just to make people feel something and give them a little bit of, it's freedom, right? So just take them away from whatever they're worrying about or thinking about in that moment, and just take them into my song and just tell them a little story. And you know, sometimes the story is nice, and sometimes it's sad, and sometimes it's a love song, and sometimes it's not, but it just gives them a little moment, and it gives them good music with great musicians, and just gives them that time that's their time.
So have you done some live gigs lately? Have you had anything on your itinerary?
Well, the other night I played with the Anderson twins, Pete and Will. It's been really nice that I've just had these opportunities to play with them. They are so kind and warm and welcoming to invite me to perform with them once in a while when they do these tributes to these great American songbook composers. I feel so honored that there are so many great singers out there, and they choose me to perform with them, and it's really a treat. So the other night we played at Birdland, and we did a tribute to Irving Berlin. That was really special. It's always fun to get on stage with them. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
So overall, what is the feeling? You know, I mean, there's been this sentiment that, you know, after we've gone through something as traumatic as what we went through, and, you know, most people didn't have live music for at least 2 years, what's kind of the mood and mode? I know Birdland is obviously a very special place on the entire planet to have a show as esteemed as the show that you had. But overall, what's your general feeling from the crowds?
Everybody wants to get out. Everybody wants to be back in the theaters and in the clubs. The clubs are full. They are full. I don't know if you've been to New York lately, but it's just the pendulum has swung back out, and it's open. Everything is open, and people are out. So come here, come visit, and come see something, because everybody wants to see live music and be entertained and escape and just feel things. Everybody wants to be together right now.
Yeah, for sure. The community is something we've missed. I actually had a dream about a month ago that I went to New York and I was at the Vanguard, and I was like, how is this happening? And I've never been there, so my mind built something that probably isn't real, but I was just absolutely floored. I was like, I can't believe I'm in New York at the Vanguard. And I've never been there. I mean, I've been to New York, but it was a long, long time ago. My dad was born in Brooklyn, raised in Long Island, so I was up to see family, and never really, at that point, I didn't have my show, and I wasn't really as into it as I am now, but I would love to get up that way. And I'm noticing in Kansas City, you know, we have an interesting facet here where we have, along with all the shows and cats coming into town and everything happening, we have a series at our local community college. It's a show. It's noon on Tuesdays, and then at the Blue Room off 18 and Vine, it's noon on Thursdays, and local musicians are coming in and playing like half-hour sets for free, and they're packed, and it's been wonderful. Great showcase and a great way to get people back out at it. So I've noticed from that perspective that it's just really, it's wonderful to see everybody back out. Everybody's relieved.
I'm sure stuff like that is happening in a lot of different cities. That's really wonderful. I'm glad that you have something like that there. And that's, you know, if you're having dreams, I think it's a sign you should come visit.
It was a weird dream. Like, there were things that were happening. You know, your subconscious is a very weird, malleable place. So things were popping in that were strange. Like, the beginning everything with David Lynch, it was kind of like that in Twilight Zone. But it was still, I kept thinking in the back of my mind, I can't believe I'm here. And it's like, whenever I go to a show, my wife is always like, why don't you get a shirt or get something? I'm like, no, it's fine. This is the experience. This is the T-shirt. And I remember I was there alone, and in the back of my head, I said, I'm going to finally get a T-shirt. I was like, I finally splurged and did it, because I'm like, I just, you know, she would be so proud of me that I did that. So there was all these little things. So I think you're right. The vivid nature of it probably is hearkening me to go up there, and I would love to see. I just don't even know what I would do if I got to a place like Birdland or the Vanguard. It's like, they're like Taj Mahals to me, and I would just love to see something there.
Oh, I'm sure you would have the time of your life and just have fun, because everybody that comes there just enjoys themselves so much. And when you do get to Birdland, just find Johnny, the owner, and tell him that Molly Ryan said that you had to go. So
okay. I absolutely will. You know, I did so many, I ramped up my interviews over that 2020 year, you know, when COVID began. I really had to kind of assess things, and it was just something that really gained steam. And I have a son and a stepdaughter, and I would play interviews. They would listen to my interviews. And, you know, overwhelmingly, the musicians were strong and positive, and it was such a good thing for them to hear, and it's something I love. So it was really good, but it was also one of those things where I just got to a point where it's like, man alive, you know, there's just nothing happening. The itinerary's falling away. Everything's going away. So I think right now, at this time, how relieving and refreshing, and how I almost just want to kind of concrete this moment, because we lived through such a long space of not knowing at all. The ambiguity was the big thing. So it's so good to hear.
Yeah, I think that's another part of it, is that because of what we've been through right now, we live in this space of thinking, this isn't guaranteed. So let's just live it up, and let's just jump on everything, because we're not guaranteed the gig tomorrow or the gig next week or having our gigs next year. So let's just go have fun and let's just try and create what we can right now and enjoy it.
You know, the other thing that I realized about the jazz community, of all of the wonderful things, I can't imagine a better group of humans to cover and to be around. I mean, you all exude this grounded nature. You're overwhelmingly positive. You lift each other up, and the higher up the ladder you go, the more humble they are, the artists are. But the thing I realized over this time is that you all as artists pretty much mimic what we lived through. So we all had to take this unexpected moment, and we had to make it sound and look the best we could, and it was going to happen once. And if there was ever a sector of artists that realized that every night that you do something on stage, it would have to be jazz musicians.
Except that people record it and put it on the internet forever.
Right, exactly. Other than that... Take the modern component, but yeah, there's such a good nature about it. And I'm noticing even a lot of people that teach in university settings are saying that the enrollment rates have gone up. So it's not like the kids have been scared. They're like, let's go, let's get in there.
Yeah.
So I think so there's been a triumphant part of that that's existed. So Molly, tell me, where is the best place? You talked about the vinyl, but where's the best place for anybody to get this album physically, stream it, and to know about shows and anything that's going on in your world?
The best place to get the album is straight from Turtle Bass on their Bandcamp website. So if they go to bandcamp.com, and then I think it's Turtle Bay Records. So go to bandcamp.com and search for Turtle Bay Records, and you will find the new album out on November 11th. And it's called Let a Smile, Sweeping the Blues Away. But the single that just came out is Let a Smile Be Your Umbrella. And there's another single that will be released later this month, just in time for Halloween. So there might be a little Halloween theme in there tied in as well. If you're on Instagram, I'm on Instagram, the Molly Ryan. Let's see. I'm online, mollyryan.com. You can look up my shows there. And I'm just around the New York area, really. And or I might be in the skies, you never know. I became a pilot over the pandemic, so I'm flying these days. So you might look up and see me there as well. But yeah, look up Turtle Bay Records and find some more music from their other artists as well.
That's wonderful. So you're flying, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm a commercial pilot now.
Wow. What's that like? That has to be a pretty big deal.
It was a very big deal getting that too, but it was just something I always wanted to do, and I found myself with the time to do it. So putting two loves and passions together, and I hope to be able to teach kids and teenagers the same passions, music and flying, and spread the love. And I'm not the only musician who does it. You know, there's a nonprofit called Flying Musicians, and so there's a lot of us.
You know, it's interesting. My son, he's in special needs. He's on the autism spectrum, and every year for the last, I would say, we're going on 8 years now, there's an organization called Challenge Air, and it's a bunch of retired Vietnam veterans and folks that have been in the Air Force or they're volunteering their time, and they take the kids up in a twin engine, and they fly over Kansas City, go over the stadiums and our amusement park, and come back down to our downtown airport. So I've always had a very high respect for them, and that's kind of their thing. They volunteer and give people that love of flying, and it's wonderful.
Oh, that's great. I love hearing that. I love any volunteer projects. Love that. That's right up my alley. I love that.
So on kind of a silly front here, I've always had this like dream of mine that if I ever won the lottery, and I would just do frivolous things, like I would just fly to Philly and get a Philly cheesesteak and then come back home, you know, just go up and get a really. So
okay.
I'm wondering if you get to that place, because you could be mobile with the plane, and you really wanted to say, look, I want to go get a whole stack of Philly cheesesteaks for flying to Philly. Can you just go get a plane and go?
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be so cool. So anyway, And I didn't mean to get off the rails there, but Molly, thank you for taking some time out today. Good luck with the album. I really appreciate your time. It's great to catch up with you.
Hey, thank you, Joe. It's nice to catch up with you, too. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Molly for her time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Story. Everything will be hunky-dory. Get yourself a new broom and sweep the blues away.
I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Maria Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist. That Something Came from Baltimore, and be a part of that Be More music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Coffin, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith, Thumbscrew.
Neon Jazz.